past 8 o'clock, Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc. in the Bolito Village, is in the studio. Nice to see you again,
yeah,
Gavin.
Yeah, good to be back. That week went quick.
These things are sent to try us, as they say. And, time is fleeting. Today's budget day again.
Second budget day, yeah.
Now, the interesting thing that I don't think many South Africans realize, although we've isolated it in a news item, is that we are really concerned about percentages of increase on all sorts of items because it does affect us. What we are unaware of, though, is the effect that the printing of money to pay government debt or to make some attempt to pay government debt, which is out of control, has been the biggest eater of your precious nest egg. We don't realize.
It's a simple thing. If you have a certain amount of money chasing a certain amount of goods, hypothetically, that'll set a certain price. If you're going to add money to the system, then there's more money chasing the same amount of goods, and the prices go up. That's called inflation. Now, inflation has several causes. One of them is if your government is pushing money into the system by simply printing it. That means there's no value behind it. And all that does is this money now circulates in your economy and chases up the price of goods. And so ultimately, it is a tax that you're paying that you don't realize you're paying. And so our inflation rate is obviously one of the highest that you can have presently. And it's just one of those, it's the tax we pay for financial mismanagement by our government. And it's funny now with the budget and all of that, and they're obviously casting around looking for money because it's obvious that the party's coming to an end, it was automatically like, which taxes can we raise, but there's never been any discussion that I've heard where they said, how do we stop government from being so massive and such a massive tick on the back of this economy? And just get them to rein themselves in a little bit. Well, that's not going to happen because they're rampant. The way that they waste money. We've got the second most embassies of any country in the world, in nondescript countries and little villas where ANC guys go and retire in places like Bolivia and a country as insignificant as ours. I mean, you would wonder. Somebody said if they halved them, we'd save 60 billion rand a year. These are little things that we can do. I mean, we had, 456 trillion rand of irregular spending in the last 5 years. Maybe just have a good look at that and see where's that money going. Maybe we can stop that, have a look at all the, I was reading that World Bank report, and they said one of the problems why South African government's so ineffective is that it's completely fragmented into thousands of unnecessary departments for this and departments for that, and that they should consolidate them. And even just that act of consolidation is going to bring down the cost of running this massive state that we have. We've got more cabinet members than countries with 10 times our GDP, so these are all things, but you'll never hear those conversations. It's just like, we need more money. It's like having a spendthrift brother or cousin who's perpetually in financial trouble and you're constantly having to help, they can't pay school fees today. And eventually you go maybe you should have a look at where the money's going. Maybe you can't afford to have three children at private school on your income. Maybe they should go to a regular school. Or maybe you should drive a smaller car. Maybe you don't have to live in the best suburb and the biggest house. Maybe these are things that you can't have because you don't have the income. And our government, there's nothing they can't have, isn't it? I mean, running around in Maseratis with pointy leather shoes and, it's just a lack of self-awareness that you don't see in our government. And that is saying, guys, show us, take our taxes. I mean, you take them at gunpoint if we don't hand it over anyway. Take our taxes, but at least have the common dignity to show us that the money that you take from us is being well spent. They don't even try that anymore. They don't even try and account for the money that just goes into this bottomless pit. So ultimately, yes, of course, it's easier to print money because that's not something that the public sees. Go and take loans. You know, we're so indebted in this country. As I said last time, we're paying R1 billion a day in interest. That's not even bringing the capital amount down of what we owe.
It's interesting that,
and that's another thing, Dave. If your spending as a government more than what you're raising in taxation, and you run off and you borrow money, okay, it's the same as printing money. It's worse because you're going to pay it back with interest. Mm. But again, you're taking money that wouldn't have been in the system, and you're injecting it and creating more inflation. So it's a spiral, and we seriously. If you took a loan and you said, look, we're going to build another Vaal Dam, or we're going to build a power station, or, you know, if you took loans to do capital projects, things that will create their own revenue down the line, well, it makes sense. You go, well, I'm going to pay a bit of interest, but at the same time, I'm going to generate more revenue than the interest that I'm paying. So it's fine. It makes economic sense. But if you're simply going to borrow money because you have to, you know, you've got all these social systems that you have to pay into, and you haven't raised enough taxes to have a system like that, then you're just going backwards. And we have been going backwards. I think, you know, a lot of what's going on at the moment is that Overton window is being shifted away from, like, let's not examine our own finances too hard. Let's rather have a look. Oh, Israel's involved in a war. Well, let's point there. Or, you know, America's not going to tell us what to do. Well, America's not picking up the phone at the moment. So, you know, for all the grandstanding that our fearless leaders did, they really look like fools today. But ultimately, the only thing I really think is that I think everybody knows what needs to be done.
Well, do they?
Yes, everybody does.
Do you think so? I have a theory that every single one of our politicians is involved in a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to enrich themselves.
Yes, of course.
I don't think there is one that does what they do.
And greed is a sickness because it'll never be enough.
Mm. Well, you see, and why do we keep on voting for these people? This has got to be our problem.
Well, to be fair, South Africans are coming around.
Yeah.
And you know, I saw there was a poll now that said the ANC's probably slipped under 30.
No, it's come back in Natal.
Oh, has it come back again?
In KZN, it's bounced back tremendously since the establishment of the GNU, which is a huge concern because, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And we are
We do need the GNU to operate as a country. And I think we did see there's a reluctance, obviously, of the participants, the smaller parties, to leave the GNU because then they leave the door open to Malemas and the MKs and that. And that, I mean, that's just a complete wrong direction for our country to take, you know.
Well, look, that's a view. Won't have the same view if you spoke to EFF member.
But
they've got a different view.
They did definitely, the ANC didn't get its way in the first effort to have a budget speech. And they have had to do a come down. I don't know what will happen today.
But you see,
but I can imagine
the DA claims great credit for that. And I think there is a certain amount of credit due to them for opposing it. But they weren't the only voices opposing it. I think it was a universal, except for the ANC acolytes. I think everyone, even the unions, came out and said, not a chance, not a chance. Touch VAT, we're gonna.
Yeah, pause. Well, I mean, yeah, there is going to be a rift there. But, you know, we need to do very fundamental and basic things. Mm. And we just seem to refuse to do them. You know, one of the things that you need in an economy like ours, if you want to grow the economy, is you need people to invest in the country. Direct foreign investment should be at 40%. You know, ours is shockingly low now because we've just gone and made enemies of the biggest economy in the world. And I think all the other countries are looking at this and going, well, if America's not happy, we're not going to get involved because we need to be cozy with America to trade with them.
Isn't it interesting that our best friends, China and Russia, and they are, you know, Russia's having a hell of a nice time with America right
now.
Well,
yeah. Mm. Donald and Putin are great mates at the moment. Yeah,
we've thrown ourselves under the bus. because we're appeasing Iraq and Russia. You know, and those guys are having as much of a...
So we're doing everything we can to have no direct foreign investment ultimately when we finish this exercise of poor public relations or poor foreign relations. You know, we're just all over the park. The second thing is you need to foster business.
Have you listened to the president?
Yeah.
He lives in the twilight zone.
I don't.
He comes out saying how well they're doing with engaging now. They're engaging with America. Who? Who believes that? But he says it.
They don't answer the phone.
I mean, it's. I was watching a little piece, you know, now, shortly, momentarily ago, watching Cyril Ramaphosa explaining how well they're doing in engaging with people, engaging with America.
It's all politics speak.
You know what? What does anyone believe? And does anyone actually even understand what he's saying?
America's hung up the fan. They're not interested. I mean, they cannot get an audience with anybody in the American government at the moment because they've said, we've read the act. It says no compensation. What do you want to talk about? You know, we know that you've got BEE laws that are anti-white, anti-Indian. And what do you want to talk about? You know, there's nothing to talk about. We know what you're doing. We're well informed. You know, and we don't have to have a conversation about this. And then, you know,
there is that conversation that says that they actually aren't well informed because there's been a version of events presented by certain groups that is also not 100% straight. You know, everyone has a take on it. You can say
what you like. You know, you can sugarcoat BEE if you want to, or you can deny that there's a concerted communist effort to take property from people ultimately down the line, and this is all the peremptory stuff that's being put in place. You can say what you like. Americans aren't stupid. They can see what's going on, and they don't want to have the discussion. The second thing is we've cozied up.
I just want to stop you for a second. Yeah. Now, that's a hell of a sweeping statement. Americans have done a lot of evidence to suggest possibly.
Of course, especially political. So we'll see. You can disagree with me on that. I don't mind. But, there's that. And then this cozying up to Iran, obviously, that's not helpful. You know, we've got the situation.
Well, it's been very helpful for the ANC, apparently.
It has been.
But apparently they're in financial distress again, the ANC.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Salaries aren't being paid again. So who are they going to cozy up to this time?
Well, these are the people that are running our country. They can't even run their own finances. But in any event, the problem with the Iranian thing is that Iran has been for a long time really been hankering after a nuclear bomb, and that to them will be one of the ways that they can get some status in the Middle East, and it's been an issue for decades, as everyone knows, and. You wonder why are they coming over here so often and why are they helping the ANC so much? And then you do recall that we did have a nuclear bomb in this country.
Yeah.
And that those plans and designs and that are still here. And, you know, ultimately, you know, when you're playing as a country, when you're playing that game, you're going to make some pretty big enemies. So I just think it's astonishing to me that we are doing everything but what's in our interest. You know, it's...
Well,
it's,
you know what? Again, I don't think that we are doing anything. I think our politicians are starting up. But South Africa, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with the business community that just sits quietly and says, don't make a fuss. Yeah, don't make true. A fuss.
It's
don't
a bit like, don't it's put a bit, your head it's, up. It's a bit like COVID, where everybody just said, well, you know, keep your head under the parapets and let this all pass. And I think South African business has done that because, let's face it, right from the very beginning, the ANC, SACP alliance have been antagonistic to business, antagonistic to private property, antagonistic to, so you know they've had a different mindset all along, and we're still dealing with that. You know, I don't think honestly that that's the South African government. Has much sympathy for business. So, you know, business has also been sort of had its head down under the parapets, knowing it's the stepchild of the ANC and it's not in favor. So I think a lot of business has been complicit with what's happened. I think, you know, I think ultimately we should have a truth and reconciliation again and say, look, you know, how did all this money go from our coffers to, you know, three Indian brothers and who now live in wealth in Dubai? Or, you know, where did all our taxes go? How come nothing got fixed? You know, why is our infrastructure failing?
Have you seen the banking results, the fiscal results of our top banks? Yeah, I'm absolutely astonished at the level of the profit margins that are being declared. It's absolutely like it's fabulous if you own shares, but if you're How did the money get moved? How does money, criminal money, and I'm saying, you know, any money that is stolen is criminal money, and we get a hell of a lot of reports of it all the time, but it's got to go through the
banks. Somebody knows how it goes from the government account into private accounts.
What exactly? So this must be a paper trail. Why is it so difficult? I mean, even locally with the Guadalupe situation, you know, the money that was stolen out of a... Yeah. They haven't got it all back yet because there are two banks that have been forced in the High Court to reveal the details of the account holders that money's been paid into. They didn't do it voluntarily, and they've got now a certain amount of time in which to come clean, and until that happens, that 7-odd million rand of our money is still sitting in private hands. Yeah. Now, for me, that is iniquitous, and I don't believe that might be legal in some twist of the rules, but it's certainly not moral. It can't be seen as moral.
Well, right from the arms deal onwards, it was one of those things. If we're going to put our hand in the cookie jar, we all put our hand in the cookie jar, and then no one can take anyone else to task.
That's pretty much where it is.
And I think it's throughout our municipality. I mean, the smaller towns in South Africa have just taken a hammering because, you know, all of those municipalities are bankrupt. You know, they don't provide services. You've got to ask yourself whether the politicians generally are acting in our interests at all, anywhere, at any level.
Or even talking to each other. And here's an interesting one locally. Do you remember when the Avon Peking plant was being built? They actually built or rebuilt a road.
Yeah.
The Glendale Road. Mm-hmm. That links sort of the Grey Town, and then Peter Mills could deliver by the millions of litres. And they had to make sure the road was sufficiently strong to support the weight of these tankers, which they spent a fortune on. There's a bridge near Rain Farm that has been damaged and subsequently to the point of
I know. I think the farmers are the ones that have kind of made it possible again.
But now it's now become a major flashpoint because the bridge is unserviceable and the Department of Transport apparently has no money to fix it. Mm. Listen to this. Now, local businesses up in arms, we're going to be featuring a story on it on Thursday. But the real thing is, if they can't get diesel to the Peking plant, which runs 24/7, it will be the same kind of situation as when Kuberg went down over the weekend. Take that plant offline, we're back to load shedding 101.
Yeah.
And everyone can now see it happening, except for the Department of Transport and the government and the Minister of Energy. No one's talking to each other. We know this is happening. We can see. There it is. Well, it's coming. Why don't we fix the bridge? Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Look, I think we will. We're no doubt going to have to enter some sort of age of accountability. You know, we're going to have to say, you know, you were minister of this. What have you done? You know, what's going on here? And I think that accountability, to have an accountable government, you also need a fairly educated constituency. And I think a lot of people are not as naive as they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And people are starting to, you know, just the level of information and news that you can get just on your telephone. If you don't watch SABC, but you can go onto YouTube and you can get a whole lot of opinions on a whole lot of things.
We can, Gavin. Yeah. But if you look at where the power lies, it's in the rural areas, and these guys are still living in the dark ages, unfortunately.
And they're not online, and they could easily have been online with Starlink. But that's another conversation altogether.
Why do you think that there's been such resistance in our government?
Possibly keep them ignorant. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always been. It's wonderful.
But you know what? We're having these conversations, and things are progressing, and people are noticing, and people are changing their views, and we have seen the ANC. As promises don't get kept. They've gone from almost, 2/3 majority to, 40%. And I think ultimately there must be some message to politicians that you must serve your constituents, otherwise they abandon you.
Well, there it is. We've got an election coming up, a local election coming up shortly. Is it 26 or 27?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, it's soon. I think it might be next year. It's soon enough for all of this anger to boil over to the polls. And if you then do not vote, because that then takes you out of the equation. You no longer have a right to complain if you and if you don't vote with your conscience, you might think the situation is marvelous, in which case, you know, carry on ticking the boxes you've always ticked. But if you're looking for change, and that's the coming, I'm looking forward to
it. What we need to do is we need to change the metrics. You know, we need to change. We're growing our predicted growth for this year from the World Bank is 0.8%, and it's 0.7% from the IMF. That means we're not growing in any meaningful way. That's got to change. You know, we got 40% unemployment. You know, that's world record stuff. You know, we lead the stats there. That's not acceptable. You know, these are all sort of metrics that we need to change. But we have to be serious about changing them, not just talk about it, you know. And we have to start looking at how can we grow this economy? How can we give businesses a boost?
And you know what is also very interesting? Because a lot of people listening to this saying, well, we're just going to go. Let's go overseas. Mm.
Yeah, if you want to go, I wouldn't blame anyone who says, look, I can see that these guys are never going to come right, and I want to leave. You know, that's fine if you've got the option. A lot of us are sitting here going, well, you know, in 1994 we made a conscious decision to be part of this country and to be part of its future, and we stayed. And then we got a raft of legislation against us, but we stayed, you know. And then we watched our taxes being stolen, but we stayed. And so, ultimately, I think the people that are here are either can't leave or are serious about staying and being part of the solution to this country. And that's what I've even seen, maybe in the last 2 years, there's been a bit of a wave of people returning. Because things aren't all rosy over there either.
No, it's not.
I think we have to be part of the solution. It's an existential thing at the moment, and you know, we have to have these conversations. We have to speak to whomever we can as loudly as we can.
Well, you do that very well, Gavin.
Thank you.
You do that very well. We get into trouble for it, but you. There, I think we leave it for today. But it's lovely having the conversation. And fresh ideas are always worthy to explore and examine. Gavin Steinherbel, attorney at law, will be back in a week for more hard talk. But if you need an attorney and you're looking for a good one, you'll find him down in the Balita Village under the banner Kloppers Inc. Gavin, thanks again for joining us on the Morning Show. And the Morning Show continues.